It's Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. You're with us here on the Ideas Network. Coming up on Central Time, 10% of Wisconsinites live in a food desert, according to the USDA. We'll take a look at food deserts in Wisconsin cities and rural areas, plus possible solutions to the problem. If this is a problem in your own community, you can call in and tell us about it, or maybe a solution you've found. Call it at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also email ideas@wpr.org. We'll get to that conversation in just a few. Right now, it's the Wisconsin Public Radio Fall Member Drive. You count on the Ideas Network for informative, interesting discussions. We rely on you to keep programs like this one going strong. Listener support is the largest source of funding for all of our Wisconsin Public Radio programs, and that's why your gift of any amount right now makes an important difference at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552. Again, if you want to make a contribution, get this drive off to a fantastic start, we would love to hear from you right away at WPR.org on this first day of the drive, or make a quick phone call. Either way, just a couple few minutes, 888-202-2552 is the number to call. Looking for 20 gifts in this hour, again, on the first day of the drive. Love to get these off to a big start. Our fall member drive, really important part of the funding here at Wisconsin Public Radio. The money you give really comes to you each and every day, and the conversations you get here on the Ideas Network. And it's a chance to become part of something really important. 100-year-plus history of Wisconsin Public Radio since the early days when literally it was just broadcasting Morse code weather reports to towns around the state. They'd translate them there. Farmers would come in and see what the weather held for them in the next few days. We've made a few changes since then, but I hope it's been just as useful to you. Make your gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Ellen Clark joins me now from our Green Bay, Wisconsin Public Radio studio. Hey, Ellen, how's it
going?
Good
afternoon, Rob. How are you today?
Well, pretty good, and I hope I'll be better because I hope we'll see lots of people joining this century-long Wisconsin Public Radio team with their gift.
That's right. We've got a goal of 20 gifts this hour, and these hourly goals are really important. This is not just some willy-nilly number we throw out there. It helps us stay on track financially, so we can keep the discussion going strong on the Ideas Network. So give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
WPR has had a commitment to quality and innovation, trying new stuff. That's why we've been around for, as I was saying, over 100 years. And since listener donations make up the biggest piece of funding for Wisconsin Public Radio programs, it's all possible thanks to you.
Exactly. Your contribution makes this program possible and so many others as well. When you give, you're part of the quality you hear every single day on WPR. Make a difference right now with your gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
First day of the drive, and we have a special first day gift for you available today only, as I understand it. It's the 2022 WPR enamel pin. It features a radio tower design. You can support WPR programs with your gift of any amount at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 and ask for your very own pin. Then wear it with pride. Tell the world you are a Wisconsin Public Radio fan.
And I don't know, from what I'm hearing, you got to get one of these pins. Am I right?
They look pretty cool. I've seen the design. I haven't seen one in the wild yet, but they're new. They're just
necessary,
getting out there.
Necessary. Now, WPR is your daily companion. We're on the air 24 hours a day, whether you're at home, in the car, at the office, whether you're concentrating or relaxing.
You count on us for accurate news, great music, and intelligent conversation. We count on your gift. That's how it works. Support your daily listening right now. Give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And giving to Wisconsin Public Radio is really easy. We make it painless. All it takes is a few minutes of your time and a gift of any amount, say $10 a month.
That donation will come back to you every day in the form of engaging programs. Show your support right now with your gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 and give as generously as you can. Thank you so much for supporting Wisconsin Public Radio. This is Central Time. More than 500,000 Wisconsinites, about 10% of the state's residents, live in what's called a food desert with little or no access to fresh, healthy, and affordable food. One USDA measurement says most of Milwaukee is considered a food desert, but it's not just a story about cities. Some of the state's most rural counties also have little or no access to local grocery stores. High poverty neighborhoods are more likely to be food deserts, which is connected to existing health inequalities. Food deserts can be associated with higher rates of obesity, heart disease, and diabetes. We're taking a look now at food deserts in Wisconsin, and we want to hear from you at 800-642-1234. Are we talking about you? Is it hard for you or maybe people in your neighborhood, especially if they can't drive for one reason or another, to get to the food that you want, that you need? Have you seen a solution in your area to that problem, or do you still need one? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or email ideas@WPR.org. Lauren Azu is a deputy senior content editor now with the Chicago Tribune. She reported for the series Beyond Hunger for Wisconsin Watch. Lauren, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Yeah, I'm so happy to be here. Thank you.
Well, as part of your reporting, you spent time with people living in these food deserts and reporting on what this means to them. What does this mean for them? What does a food desert look like from the perspective of people living in them?
You know, it just makes day-to-day life harder. Like, imagine having to drive a half hour to just get to the grocery store. Grocery shopping is already such a hassle on top of trying, you know, it being more difficult to go, or you having to make a special effort because there are no grocery stores close to where you live. It just really worsens the quality of life for people living in Wisconsin, and definitely has a huge outcome on these health disparities that you just mentioned.
This series you reported on looked at kind of both ends of the spectrum, urban areas in Wisconsin and rural areas. Let's start with the cities you looked at. Give us a sense of what neighborhoods, what communities are affected by food deserts.
Yeah, so I spent some time in a community in South Madison that went without a grocery store for at least 8 years. And so that was in Madison. And then I went to a senior facility in Milwaukee that was also in an identified food desert. And then I interviewed somebody in Florence County, Wisconsin, that also went without a grocery store for at least a few years. So all these cities are on opposite ends of the state, but they had the same problem, which is they went a while without a grocery store. People living there definitely struggled day to day to, you know, grocery shop and get the food they needed.
Can you talk about the way grocery stores work, the grocery business works, that makes it, you know, not necessarily likely that a grocery store is going to want to set up shop in the neighborhoods you reported on?
Yeah, definitely. So grocery stores, they already operate on such thin margins, and they really have to go where they picture them having a successful business and, you know, being able to work within those margins. And so there's not really much incentive for a grocery retailer to, let's say, set up shop where in a rural area, let's say, where there's not as many people compared to an urban area, or a low-income area where there's not as many people with disposable income that can really shop and do the heavy bulk shopping like in suburban areas. But the problem is we all need food to live. So just because they're making these business decisions, it doesn't mean that they don't have an outcome. They do.
Before we get to some possible solutions, what do we know about the health impacts on people who don't have, you know, local access to healthy food?
Yeah, so we definitely looked at a lot of different studies that were saying the same things. According to the 2019 Milwaukee Fresh Food Access Report, we found that distance from supermarkets correlates with higher rates of obesity, heart disease, diabetes, and it really, really shows. And yeah, it.
We're talking to Lauren Azu now with the Chicago Tribune. She reported on a series called Beyond Hunger for Wisconsin Watch, looking at food deserts around the state. Big cities, some of the smallest, lowest populated counties, too, in the state. It's happening in both kinds of places. Let's look at some solutions that people have out there. Lauren, you mentioned South Madison, and you talked to the owner of Luna Grocery in Madison, who was able to open her store in one of these food deserts with some grant money. Can you share that story?
Yeah, so I talked to Miriam Maldonado. She's the owner of Luna's Groceries, and she opened Luna's about 2 years ago in South Madison after the community there had been without a grocery store for almost a decade. And the community is the Allied Drive Dunn's Marsh neighborhood. It has a high Hispanic, Black community there. And she's really seeking to serve those communities in South Madison, and by providing food that really people are used to eating, that reminds them of where they came. It's a heavily immigrant population. And so it's really serving a unique market, a unique community, but also really serving a need in that community so people don't have to struggle to get to the grocery store.
And another solution people have offered that might work for some communities is the idea of mobile markets. How do those work?
Yeah, so I spent some time with a Hunger Task Force / Piggly Wiggly mobile market in Milwaukee. And this is a mobile market that visits public housing communities, senior residences, and other community centers in Milwaukee to really serve communities that have been identified with struggling the most with having access to food, specifically low-income seniors who may not be able to drive anymore, may not have as much disposable income, and they offer a discount on fresh, healthy produce that is really helping with health outcomes that we've mentioned. And they visit different community centers across the city each week. They have a schedule posted online, and they have a good following. About 2 dozen people show up each time. It really, really serves these people. We spoke with one woman who says it really helps her manage her health better and just get the things she needs so she doesn't have to pay people, for example, to take her to the grocery store.
Lauren, thanks for sharing your reporting with us.
Yeah, you're welcome. Thank you for having me.
That's Lauren Azu, Deputy Senior Content Editor. Now at the Chicago Tribune, she talked to us about reporting she did for the Wisconsin Watch series Beyond Hunger, looking at food deserts in the state, possible solutions. Coming up, we'll look at wider issues related to food insecurity in Wisconsin. You can join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. If you have experienced this, or maybe your family members have, or you work on solutions in your part of the state, 800-642-1234 is the number. We'll pick up that conversation coming up on Central Time. This is Central Time on the Ideas Network. I'm Rob Ferret. We just heard about food deserts in Wisconsin. Now we look more broadly at food insecurity in the state when people can't rely on consistently getting adequate, nutritious, and affordable food. Stephanie Young-Dorfman is Executive Director of Feeding Wisconsin, the State Association of Feeding America Food Banks. Stephanie, welcome back to Central Time.
Thanks so much for having me, Rob.
Let's start off with the connection, if any, between these food deserts and the wider food insecurity problems we see in Wisconsin.
Yeah, absolutely. So food insecurity is the lack of consistent access to enough food. And oftentimes that's tied to having enough money to access food. But issues such as access and barriers such as transportation, having the time it takes to secure food for a household, those are definitely things that can exacerbate food insecurity. So we see there's definitely an overlap. And you know, beyond food insecurity, our network of food banks is working further to improve food nutrition security. So providing equitable access to nutrient-dense and culturally meaningful foods. So we know that food deserts also create a challenge of accessing the right food for folks and their families, culturally meaningful foods, dietary needs, dietary-specific foods, and things like that. So it takes away the choice and the opportunity and dignity to find the food that folks might need for their families.
That's an interesting distinction. If we just measured by calories, we might say, yes, we have access to enough caloric intake from day to day. But what are those calories? Are they nutritious foods? Are they contributing to health? Do we need more focus on that?
Yeah, absolutely. And our network has made that shift in nutritious foods, but culturally meaningful foods. We know that, in the history of food banks, we've often relied on commodities, pretty generic foods, donated foods that haven't always met the cultural needs and the medical needs of families. So it really does matter to have nutritious, healthy foods. And in Wisconsin, we're lucky enough to have a lot of local healthy foods available to us.
Can you give us a sense of the state of food insecurity in Wisconsin? How widespread is it?
Yeah, so currently, based on Feeding America's Map the Meal Gap, about 1 in 14 individuals, Wisconsinites, are experiencing food insecurity. And we know that looks a little different across the map. Folks experience food insecurity at disproportionate rates. Place and race matter. A white household, 1 in 20 white Wisconsinites experience food insecurity, whereas a 1 in 4 Black or Latino Wisconsinites experience food insecurity. So, this looks different across the state, but it's certainly a prevalent issue.
Let's talk about kids in particular. Obviously, food insecurity important to everybody, but developing children maybe more so than anyone. How many kids in the state do we know are subject to food insecurity?
Yeah, it's about 12%, so a higher rate. 1 in 8 children in the state of Wisconsin experience food insecurity.
What kind of efforts are you doing at Feeding America food banks around the state to try to address this problem, apart from obviously providing food itself?
Yeah, so we've, through the pandemic, there has certainly been a higher demand for food. So we have continued to fill the gaps, food deserts being one of them, by supporting food pantries, meal sites, residential shelters. Many of our food banks increase the number of mobile pantries. Those are, food bank trucks going out to communities that don't have brick and mortar food pantries, or maybe those brick and mortar food pantries were closed during the pandemic because of lack of volunteers or safety concerns. Our food banks are also engaged in SNAP outreach. When we think about food deserts, some of the challenges that exist in communities when new retailers pop up is how do we keep those retailers in those spaces? So ensuring folks have the purchasing power to keep those businesses in place is really important. So robust government programs like SNAP or the Food Share Program, as it's known in Wisconsin, are really important to make sure that folks have the funds to purchase from mainstream retailers. Our food banks have dove into many other innovative programs to reach specific communities. During the pandemic, the last 2 years, we just launched a tribal elder food box where we're purchasing from native and tribal producers and getting aggregating that product, repacking it, and getting it to tribal elders at all 11 federally recognized tribal communities across the state. And that's been a way to touch on, both the challenge of accessing food, but the challenge of access, and also the challenge of accessing nutritious, traditional, and food that is grown specifically for those folks. So those are some examples.
And that reminds me, before we wrap up, I understand you have a lot of outreach and partnerships with farmers in Wisconsin to try to get produce from the farms to the people in need.
Yes. Very grateful to live in such a great agricultural state. And over these past years, as we've seen some supply chain disruptions, we've really worked closely with local producers to source, to purchase at market prices, the food that other Wisconsinites experiencing food insecurity really would like to be eating. So that's been a great opportunity for us to deepen those relationships.
Stephanie, we'll leave it there. Thanks for joining us today.
Thanks so much, Rob. Appreciate it.
That's Stephanie Young-Dorfman, Executive Director of Feeding Wisconsin, the State Association of Feeding America Food Banks. She talked to us about food insecurity here in the state. Coming up on Food Friday, a related topic, a chef helps us avoid food waste so we're not throwing out any potentially delicious ingredients in our own kitchens. First is the Wisconsin Public Radio Fall Membership Drive. Ellen Clark joins me from our Green Bay studio. Our goal in this drive is to make sure you keep getting your favorite programs like Central Time.
That is exactly right. And your gift of any amount is so very important because your support provides the largest piece of funding here at WPR. Give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Off to a good start this hour, a little over a half hour to go. Now looking for 14 more people to join in. Thank you so much if you've already given on this first day of the drive.
And if you haven't, now is the exact right time to help us meet that goal at WPR.org. Or 888-202-2552. Your gift funds the programs you enjoy.
In that last conversation, we learned about food deserts and food insecurity in Wisconsin. And as we heard, this isn't just a big city problem. It's not just a small town or rural problem. It is there and all points in between. It's an example of the important and informative conversations you can count on here on the Ideas Network.
Something we all need to hear, important information for all of us to get out here in the community. WPR is listener supported. That means your donation at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 makes the many topics you tune in for every day possible. Choose an amount that's right for you and then make your gift.
You listen to WPR month after month, year after year. Now give the same way you listen. Become a sustaining member. You'll make ongoing contributions of, you choose, $10 or $20 a month for as long as you want it to go.
Then you'll have the satisfaction of knowing that you're always supporting the programs you love. Don't delay. Become a sustainer right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Big election day coming up in November. Races for governor, U.S. Senate, U.S. House, and local representatives as well.
And Wisconsin Public Radio follows the candidates and the issues, giving you the analysis you need to stay informed. This kind of balanced election coverage is where you can find us every day on the air and online. It's only possible with your support at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Maybe giving a dollar a day is the right amount for your Wisconsin Public Radio listening. That's a great value, less than a cup of coffee or a soda or a day of cell phone service.
And a dollar a day comes out to $30 a month. And then you set that up as a monthly transfer from your bank account or charge it to your credit card. You just make your gift right now in any amount that's right for you to set that up at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Hoping to hear from a lot of you on this, the first day of our fall membership drive. And when you support Wisconsin Public Radio, you can ask for your limited edition WPR enamel pin. This pin, not a pen, a pin. This pin features a radio tower design. It's yours with a gift of any amount right now, today only, at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Get them today while supplies last.
And we need 14 more people to join in to meet that goal. WPR is listener-powered. That's why your gift right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 is so very important.
Arlene in Stoughton has given. Arlene says, WPR has gotten me through some very difficult times. Thank you. Arlene says, thank you. And Joseph from Madison says, I've been a listener and a supporter for years. It's a habit I don't want to break. Well, how about you? If you haven't given before, start that habit. It's a great habit to have. You have a habit of listening. Now make one of giving with your gift right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. We really can't do it without you. You've been such a great part of our success over the years. Let's keep it going far into the future with your gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And thank you. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Barrett. Coming up, it's Food Friday. If you've ever had too much of one ingredient or have a pantry with a clock ticking on some key ingredients, our guest chef has advice on how to avoid food waste in our kitchens. First, it's our fall member drive, the first day of the drive. Your support is the foundation of funding for Wisconsin Public Radio programs. It's the largest piece. It's what makes the Ideas Network your go-to place for great discussions. That's why Ellen Clark is with me to encourage you to make your gift in support of the programs you count on right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
When 13 more people join in the next 25 minutes, we will meet our goal. These hourly goals are set to make sure we have the funding for the programs you enjoy. So make your donation right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Here on the Ideas Network, you hear from the person who wrote the bill or wrote the book or has some kind of unique expertise. We're glad to seek these people out and get them here on the show. It's a great privilege, in fact, and it's a lot of fun. And it's your support that makes it all possible. Make great radio happen right now with your gift online. It takes just a few minutes at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552.
And you listen to Wisconsin Public Radio because you count on the fact-based reporting, the interesting discussions, and the great music. We hope you agree that Wisconsin is a better place because we all have access to high-quality news and entertaining programming.
That quality is possible thanks to donors, people we call members. You're a listener. Now take the next step and become a member. Your donation of maybe $120 or break it into $10 a month, it makes Wisconsin a place where great radio is possible for everyone. Give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Today only, get the exclusive WPR enamel pin when you make a donation of any amount for the programs you love. This retro-inspired pin features a WPR radio tower broadcasting your favorite programs across Wisconsin. It's only available today and limited to the first 500 people who donate. Ask for your pin now when you make a gift of any amount. Here's how.
Make that gift, get that pin online at WPR.org or give at 888-202-2552. Rob Ferret here with Ellen Clark on Central Time. The WPR programs that you enjoy are all possible thanks to your support. Your gift of $10 a month or $100 a month or whatever amount you choose makes a difference for our entire community.
Yes, and you might be wondering, how much should I give? Well, here's the great news. That's completely up to you. Your contribution of any amount will be turned into programs that will keep you informed and entertained all year long.
Make your gift right now and the amount that's right for you online at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552. Thanks for making an investment that serves your whole community.
And Wisconsin has access to quality news, talk, and entertainment because 50,000 people and households choose to support Wisconsin Public Radio.
WPR works on the honor system. Join the team effort with your gift right now of, well, you pick, how about $10 a month? You decide the amount, and then you make your gift at WPR.org. Or call 888-202-2552.
And don't forget, we have that goal, 13 more people. When 13 more people join in the next 20 minutes, we will meet that goal. WPR is listener-powered, so that's why your gift right now is so important at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Show off that public radio pride when you wear your limited edition WPR enamel pin, available for the first time today, available only today while supplies last, when you make a gift of any amount in support of Wisconsin public radio programs. Ask for it with a gift of any amount at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552.
And now is a great time to become a sustaining member. It's really easy to set up convenient ongoing monthly donations from your bank account or your credit card. Get started right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
We heard from Marlene in Clam Lake who says, I listen 24/7. I have too many favorites to list. Ed Tom in Wauwatosa says, WPR starts, sustains, and ends my day. Well, how about you? Where does Wisconsin Public Radio fit in to your life? How important is it to your commute, your workday, your time at home? You name it, put a value on it, and then make your gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And member drives are such an important time for us to hear from new members. If you've never given before, make today the day you become a member. It's quick and easy at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
It all comes down to this. You count on us each and every day for interesting conversations, informative, maybe entertaining conversations. Mm-hmm. We really do count on you to help pay for it. Make your gift right now online at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552. And thank you so much for your support of Wisconsin Public Radio. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. It's Food Friday. If you're like me, you really don't like throwing away food, but sometimes it gets away from you. You didn't know what to do with the stuff before it went bad. For one of his restaurants, our next guest is collecting food that would have been thrown out from local grocery stores. Dave Heide is the founder of the cafe Little John's. He's also executive chef and owner at other restaurants named after his kids. Chef Dave, welcome back to Central Time.
Thank you so much. Happy to be here.
Good to have you back. Now, like I said, I don't think anybody likes throwing away food, but you've really taken it on as a mission. Why is that?
I think some of the statistics we found when we were first researching helped kind of make those concrete. So 40% of all food produced in the United States ends up in a landfill. And the crazy thing is that's pre-consumer. So that's before you even buy it from a grocery store. We're throwing away about 40% of all food produced. And so for me, I was like, how can we have people going hungry? How can we have families in need? How can we have, in one of the richest nations in the world, how can we have people going hungry while we throw food away? So that's why we created Little John's.
Yeah, we've talked a little bit about Little John's and the pay what you want model, but part of it is the food waste story. How are you getting into the supply chain there before the food hits the landfill?
Yeah, you know, we've had a lot of, we're working with grocery stores, so like Metcalfe's. We've taken over 100 tons of food from Metcalfe's that would have ended up in a landfill. We've also worked with a bunch of different local farms. So like this time of year in Wisconsin, I mean, this is the hard thing in Wisconsin, right? As a local chef who uses a bunch of local farms, we love supporting local farms, but the way Wisconsin works is there's nothing, everything in the world at once, and then winter. So one of our big challenges is working with farms, but also taking in like we just brought in over 37 cases of tomatoes, right? So like, how do you even process 37 cases of tomatoes? And they're all beautiful tomatoes from local farms, but they have everything coming up right now. You know, same things with, we've got a bunch of squashes coming up and tomatoes. So for us, it's, you know, working in time of plenty. So we're right now, like, tomatoes are like key for us. So a lot of our dishes that we're putting out have beautiful farm fresh tomatoes that I can't even get at my restaurant. You know, they're just absolutely gorgeous.
Now, this is a common problem that people might have out there right now. Lots of tomatoes and a limited amount of time to do something with them. For people in their home kitchen, what are things you've been doing with tomatoes that might help them use up more of them?
So my favorite is obviously like a super simple, like caprese, right? You know, just some fresh mozzarella, you know, from like Farmer John or another local cheesemaker, some tomatoes sliced up, take some of the fresh basil. Like, we grow basil like crazy, both at our house and at the restaurant. Just take those, throw them together. You don't even have to make them fancy on a plate. Just take them, mix them up, throw them into a bowl together, drizzle some extra virgin olive oil on them, maybe a little bit of balsamic, some fresh salt and pepper. And that is like one of my favorite treats of the entire year.
That sounds fantastic. Now, do you have other thoughts for people, you know, at home? We've got the stuff in the fridge, whatever time of year. Is there like a mindset for coming up with things to eat to make sure, again, we're getting ahead of the clock, not letting stuff go bad?
I think one of the biggest problems we have is that when we're coming up with what we want to cook, we try to think about what we want to cook for the whole week. But guess what? Life happens, right? So we buy six meals worth of food, and then the reality of life hits us, and then we're like going out to eat. We're doing takeout one night. We're ordering in pizza. And then next thing you know, you got that like bag of soup that used to be asparagus sitting in the back of your fridge, right? You know, the like it's turned yellow and it's soggy and you can tell it was asparagus, but it's definitely not anymore. So my challenge to a lot of people is like, even though it seems inconvenient, instead of buying all of your groceries in one fell swoop, just try to go a couple more times, like maybe go twice a week or three times a week and only buy what you need for the short term. It keeps your fridge easier to manage. You have a lot less leftovers, and it lets life kind of happen around you instead of like planning out ahead of time, because life is super uncertain.
Mentioning asparagus makes me think, you know, sometimes in the middle of winter or late fall, say, I'll look at a recipe. Oh, that sounds really good. Oh, it's got asparagus, you know, which this isn't the great time of year to get asparagus.
Not
maybe
right
I shelve that recipe. Could you talk about thinking about seasonal cooking to make sure we're getting, you know, that good local stuff that is abundant and we're able to use it up now?
I think one of the things that's so amazing about Madison is that you have access to a farmer's market literally every single day of the week. So you can just Google and say farmer's market near me, and you can find a farmer's market within 10 minutes of you all the way through the end of October. And there are a lot of markets that even go well past that. So my advice always is like, yes, you can't get everything you need to eat or to shop with. It's not like a Target, right? You have to get what you can at a farmer's market, and then you can supplement with others. People ask a lot, like, why do I use so much local? Like, is it because like it makes me look good, or it's like farm to table is a trend? And the reality is like the reason I buy local is because it just tastes better. You know, we were talking about tomatoes earlier, right? If you take a tomato and you get it from the store, like, I don't know if you've ever had a store from a tomato from a local grocery store, but it tastes more like a potato than a tomato. You know, they're super starchy. They taste like a green tomato, right? And it's because they ship green, and then they gas them to turn them artificially red, right? Because they have to travel from Mexico all the way up to Wisconsin over the course of a week. And instead, when you go to a local farmer's market, they're picking it red off the vine, and then they're bringing it to market. So you get this sweet, beautiful, juicy, tender, like amazing full tomato without all those big pockets of just water. And you get the best quality product. Or like, you know, I think, you know, like my favorite apple is a Honeycrisp apple. But you know, if I get a Honeycrisp apple from like a Target or from like a major grocery store, you know, it's a thick skin, you know, it doesn't taste as tart or as sweet. It just doesn't taste as good. Versus if I go to like Apple Garden, you know, it's four blocks away from my house, and I get apples that are like picked within the last 2 days, and the skin is so thin, and it's so sweet, and it's so incredible. Like, that's why I buy local, is because you get better product from people who really care about the product they're doing, and without having to worry about shipping.
Talking to Chef Dave Heide on this edition of Food Friday, founder of the Cafe Little John's, executive chef and owner of a couple other restaurants, talking about food waste, avoiding it, how to cook with it in mind. And Chef Dave, you know, one of my go-tos is soup, especially starting this time of year when I want nice hot food. I have a recipe I call fridge soup, where I look at what's in the fridge and then I make soup out of it. Do you have other go-tos like that where it's like, I need to use stuff and make something good with it? What are some of your things?
Yeah, actually my best hack having to do with food. Yes, this I promise this will lead into soup, but my best hack for anything having to do with groceries is when you get them home, even though I know you're tired and you had a long day and you already had to go to the grocery store and you've got stuff to do before bed, prep your product right when it comes in the door, right? Like if you buy whole carrots, like peel them right away and chop them into carrot sticks if that's how you're going to eat them. If you have cucumbers and like you like to use them as like things with dip, like put them in a mandolin really quick and slice them through so you've got those ready to snack on. If it's onions, chop them up really quick. Because then, like, I think the biggest barrier for most people when it comes to any kind of food prep is that barrier of like, oh my God, if I want to cook dinner, I've got to get out a cutting board and a knife and multiple different pots. And like, it becomes this overwhelming cleanup, not just the cooking, right? I think most people enjoy the cooking. Like if people could walk into a traditional like TV kitchen, right? Like Emeril's Kitchen, and have everything totally prepped for them. And all they have to do is like stand over a pan and stir it and then be a great chef. Like I think people would cook every single meal. I think it's the cleanup and the prep that really tends to be overwhelming for a lot of us, right? So my recommendation is like, just dig in, get your prep done right away. And then you can be really creative when you're cooking because you don't need to worry about anything other than one saute pan. So you can just look in your fridge and say, man, I've got these five things. Let's just put them in a pot and try it out. And I think that's where real creativity comes from. I know the show before I came on, they were like, can you send me three recipes? And I was like, I literally don't make recipes because like, I just love cooking with like whatever is there. And I think a lot of times when we're learning how to cook or we're trying to cook more, recipes can be wonderful to give us inspiration, but they can also hold us back and limit us, right? If a recipe says it needs a quarter cup of Serrano ham, I might be like, oh, I don't have Serrano ham. That whole recipe isn't available. But guess what? You could even leave the ham out, or you could throw in turkey, or you could throw in whatever you want, and it's still going to taste great, right? And I, for me, recipes, although they can lead to creativity of like, oh, I never thought of combining those things together, a lot of times they can end up challenging us. Like I have people all the time when I try and make them jambalaya, they'll say like, oh, you know, I like jambalaya, but guess what? I don't like onions, and there's a lot of onions in jambalaya. Well, but guess what? Don't put in the onions, you know, like we get so handicapped by seeing what has to be in a recipe and we feel like we have to follow it. And the only time that's true is in baking. If it's baking, totally do it the way the recipe says. But other than that, go with what you feel in your heart.
Now that prep your veggies right away is genius and points to what a genius I am not. Because often, like, I'll cut up, like, a bunch of cold veggies to go with a meal, right? And like, oh, I cut up too many. And so I put them in the fridge. And the next day it's like, this is great. I've got fresh vegetables ready for me, but I never take the next logical step and just advance prep those veggies so they'd be ready for lunch. And so right now, there's like some radishes in my crisper. Like, are they good now? I don't know. I'll have to look tonight because I, you know, I don't want to take the time to cut them when I'm having a quick lunch. That mindset, Chef Dave, really could cut a lot of food waste, I think.
Well, and like my wife and I always joke around a lot when we're looking at recipes and we're looking at stuff because, you know, I am a chef, right? I've got a beautiful kitchen and fridge. We spent 10 years trying to get to a point where we could remodel our house. So we got this great kitchen to cook in, but so many times we come home and we look in our pantry, we look in our fridge, we look in our freezer. And my wife and my joke is like, oh man, all we have are ingredients. There's nothing to eat in our house. So the fun thing is like about prepping ahead is that it lets you say, yes, they're ingredients, but they're super easy to access. And you get rid of that wall or that barrier that says, I don't have the time to cook. I think time is so important. You know, I challenge people a lot, right? Like people think that cooking takes a long time, but if you really think about how long it takes you to do something like takeout, which by the way, please keep supporting our restaurants and doing takeout. Definitely do that. That's fantastic. But when it comes to things like takeout, think about how long it takes you to like do your order online, right? And then drive to the takeout place and then wait for your takeout food to be ready and then come back home. Like a lot of people are like, oh, I save time doing it. But you don't really, right? It takes about 40 minutes to get takeout, right? Versus if you cooked at home, you could probably do the same thing in 40 minutes. And my best advice to anyone, if you live with anyone, whether it's a kid or a partner, like make cooking something that you do together, right? Like cooking by yourself is always viewed as a chore, but cooking with people is how we create memories and experiences. And I think that's always been my biggest thing is that food to me is love. right? Like it's how we share our heritage, our culture, our memories, like it's all around that. So if food is love, then share that love with the people that mean the most. And it's also a great way to get kids to eat food that they might not have as otherwise, right? Because they were a part of cooking it. So if you want to cut down on food waste, get your kids excited about cooking with you, right? Get them excited about tasting it with you and being like, oh, see how, yes, it has onions, but now that they cooked off, they caramelized and the sugar and the onion turned beautiful and sweet. And, you know, it's not spicy or crunchy anymore. It tastes really good. And let them be a part of the like science and art that is cooking.
Chef Dave, thanks again for joining us today.
Anytime. Oh, by the way, I am looking forward to getting my pin. I just became, I know you're in pledge right now.
Yes.
So I just signed up for $10 every month from you guys. So looking forward to getting my pin.
Excellent. It'll look snazzy in the restaurant, I'm sure.
I'm adding it to my hat.
Oh, cool. That's Chef Dave Heide, founder of the Cafe Little John's, executive chef and owner at other restaurants named after his kids, soon to be proud owner of a WPR pin. He joined us for Food Friday to help us cut back on food waste. Well, it is, in fact, our fall member drive day one. Ellen Clark joins me now. We're here to ask you to invest a couple few minutes of your time to support your future WPR listening.
I love Chef Dave.
He's a lot of fun. I always have fun.
That's right. Listener support makes up the largest piece of funding for the programs you count on, programs like Central Time and Food Friday. That's why your gift right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 is so very important.
Just a few minutes left this hour. We are getting close to our goal. Just need five more people in these last few minutes. We can make it to the goal with your help. Make your gift right now. Support the programs you enjoy every day.
Five more gifts. WPR programs are listener powered. That means your donation right now makes a big difference at WPR.org. Or 888-202-2552.
I love Food Friday. One, because they're often a lot of fun. Two, because I learn valuable stuff. My cooking has gotten so much better hosting this segment each and every week. I hope you do too. And I hope you come away from Food Friday with practical advice that you can use in the kitchen, you know, maybe tonight, maybe this weekend. These are the kinds of helpful conversations you could count on here on Food Friday and on Central Time.
And don't forget, WPR is listener supported. That means your donation at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 makes the many topics and Food Friday you tune in for possible. Choose an amount that works for you and then make your gift.
Ask for the WPR enamel pin. It's a new design for this year. It features a radio tower. Wear it on your hat, your backpack, your jacket. Broadcast your love for WPR programs when you're out and about. It's available today only with your gift of any amount at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
My name is Sarah, and I live in Madison, Wisconsin. I would tell a friend that they should join in listening to Wisconsin Public Radio because it's one of the coolest sources of interesting news and stories and happenings of the day. If I get those news segments during my time listening to public radio in the car, I have a pretty informed sense of what's going on in the world that day and can feel like an informed, ready-to-go citizen.
We're listener-supported radio. That means we count on money from people like you, people who rely on WPR to bring them something special every day. Go to WPR.org and click donate.
You can give online at WPR.org or you can call 888-202-2552. Central Time, and it's the Fall Member Drive. Rob Ferret here with Ellen Clark. Listener support is the biggest source of funding for Wisconsin public radio programs that you rely on. That's why your gift of $10 a month or $100 a month, whatever amount you choose, really has an impact.
It is important. We hear from a lot of first-time donors who are giving because they've gotten their first job out of college, or people who've turned 30 and realized, I'm a grown-up now. Maybe it's time to give to Wisconsin Public Radio.
Giving money to something you believe in, a service you count on, is a great way to mark a new phase of your life. Many first-time donors will give $10 or $20 a month, but you choose the amount that's right for you. Then go online at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552.
And the really nice thing is, as a donor, you get to decide the amount to give. Maybe that is $100 or $200 a month. That might be the right amount for you.
That might be what you spend every month on a takeout or other forms of entertainment, for example. It's stuff you enjoy, stuff that makes life better, kind of like listening to Wisconsin Public Radio. The important thing is that you decide what amount is right for you. figure it out, and then make your gift. And it's going to take really just a few minutes to do it online at WPR.org or with a phone call at 888-202-2552. Counting down here, we can hit our goal this hour, maybe during the news break if that's what it takes, but only if you make that gift right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
It's so important. Support Wisconsin Public Radio and ask for your limited edition WPR enamel pin. This pin, featuring a radio tower, is yours with a gift of any amount today at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Step up right now.
Oh, do it right now.
This new pin is only available today.
Well, and I just got to note, we just need one more. Maybe they're on the phone right now. Maybe they're not. Maybe it's you. Give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Love to hit our goals on the first day of the drive. We count on you to help make this all possible. Make your gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And thank you.